Meeting called to order, 5:30. Pledge of Allegiance. Let's see.
I'll be happy to do it.
Go ahead.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Steve. Roll call. Alexis. Sadie, Chuck Franklin, sitting in for Natalie, Tammy, and Angela. Natalie and Chrissy couldn't make it tonight, but we do have a forum. Agenda approval. Do I have someone to approve tonight's agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Okay.
All second.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Agenda passes. Public comments. Anybody from the public have? Oh, there we go. Go ahead, Laura. Just say your name, please.
My name is Laura Steinman, and I'm here to thank you. I'm not asking for anything. I'm here to thank you for letting us practice in here without charging us for the senior follies. We had such a good time, and we felt like even if people didn't come, thank God they did. We had so much fun. It was like we all got out of a cage or something. The kids were easier to direct, let me tell you, because they were having too much fun showing each other what they could do. And thank you so much for letting us use and help and backing it up and helping us. And did you get a little bit of money from us? You're supposed to, so we'll see that you get that. But thank you a lot. It was a really, we probably would have been afraid to do it without that because, you know, it took us a little time to put it together. So I appreciate it.
How much money did you guys raise?
What?
How much money did you guys raise?
I'm not sure yet because we haven't gotten the Village Foundation handle all the online stuff. And that I haven't got
it. There was approximately 145 people.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, and
that's
we
good.
Have some. We have some things we have to pay out too. So, but and whatever money we make, we're asking the Stolen Players to save it in case you guys decide or everyone decides to do it again. So thanks a lot.
Awesome.
We had a lot of fun.
All right.
Appreciate
well, thank
it.
You.
Glad
and I don't know if everybody saw the Mountaineer Express. Old Vicky had some great pictures.
Yeah.
Not only the group, but also individual on the back page. You had all the individuals. Great job on that stuff. Thank you. Any other public comments? Stretch.
I'm Stretch Suba, and I'm just announcing first, my wife was the stage manager for Laura. I was going to... Anyway,
right.
We're starting our next CERT basic training class this Saturday. Tammy and Angela are both taking it. Eventually, Angela... Are you getting the modules for the first day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have 18 people signed up now. 16 of them are from here in Wrightwood. So we're hoping that at the end of the three training sessions, we'll have 16 more people who need help in the community. And we thank you for allowing us to use the building.
All right.
So.
Good job. Looking forward to that. All right. Eddie, say your name, please.
Hello, Eddie Lumbaga with Wrightwood Real Estate Team RDP EXP Realty. Also, the Sports Sim is the new golf simulator that I built. It's open for business. We've been open for 16 days. If it's an activity-based place, it's family-friendly. We're in the middle of getting our beer and wine license, so that'll probably take about another 45 days. So that is a nonprofit organization company that I'm operating that under, and a lot of the money is going to be going back into town to help support any events that we have going on, and a lot of things I'm already donating to already, so might as well create a vehicle to generate the revenue to pay for that anyway. Also, WrightwoodEvents.com is my website, and I have all the calendar events for Wrightwood that goes on there, so I'll make sure to put the CERT basic training class on there.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll look that up, and I'll make sure to get that on there. I've also spent a lot of time at the meetings whenever Pam Wright's been inviting me to the Wrightwood Property Owners Association and then the also Economic Development meetings. So trying to be more involved with all that stuff and just getting started.
All right. Thank you. Any other public comments? All right. Agency reports. Fire's here, I see.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'm Captain Ricardo from Station 14. Just a couple things to report. See here, our numbers for the month of August were a total of 51 calls. One of those was a fire. Four were investigations, which could be numerous things, gas, water leaks. One hazmat call, 33 medical calls, 10 public services, which were non-emergent calls where people just need help, either to bed, out of bed, to a car. 10 traffic collisions, and that would be it for both units from the station. We also have one of our active members being enshrined in the Fallen Firefighter Memorial. He was considered an active duty line of death. One of our local captains, Carl Hagel, from Station 14,
right,
passed the cancer. So that's happening in this month, and then one again in October. One's in Colorado, and the other is going to be in Sacramento. And I don't know which one's which, but he's one of our local captains.
Oh, yes, we know him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all we have from San Bernardino County Fire.
All right.
Is there any other plans for naming anything after him in Wrightwood, the flagpole or brick at the Veterans Park or anything?
I would refer that to Jen. She's our...
Not at this time. If you haven't seen our bay, we have a very large memorial plaque up right above his locker.
Beautiful.
With this photo that was carved by Engineer Craven here at the station.
Oh.
Not at this time. We are sending our honor guard pipes and drums to the memorial on the 16th, which is in Colorado Springs, and then second weekend in October. They will be streamed by the International and by the CPF online for those that want to view the ceremony, but there's unfortunately a lot of people that are being honored at the same ceremony.
All right, that's good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cap. Okay. That's our only agency right now.
Couldn't meet.
Let's see. Number six on the consent is consent calendar from the August 1st regular board meeting. Have you guys had a chance to look at it? Okay. Any questions?
Mm-mm. I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? See, I can do it without saying no. Anyway, all right, General Manager's report, Tammy.
Well, thanks for coming, everyone. I'm excited to announce that Michelle Hannon has joined our team as our parks maintenance person. Michelle's a master gardener and holds monthly gardening classes at the PPHCSD Community Garden. Michelle came in with much enthusiasm and has already resurrected the lawns that I killed in the parks. That heat wave just did me in. Anyway, she's been working on the sprinkler system and trimming the grass and bushes in the parks, along with maintaining the bathrooms in the museum. Michelle's a great asset to our team, and I look forward to seeing the transformation of the parks. My primary focuses this month have been the audit, which should be completed by the end of September. Along with that, I received an unapplied listings report from the San Bernardino County Tax Assessor's Office. This is a report that lists properties that have either been split or combined, and it creates a new APN. So they need to just be researched and verified and added to the tax roll. And that was completed August 30th. And I'm sure you all are aware by now that the long-awaited construction has started. I'm in contact with the job foreman, great guy. They're hoping to have it done by the first week of October. They said probably a little bit sooner, but I probably shouldn't have said that. Unfortunately, the August 30th meeting with Lahontan Water Board was rescheduled due to a change in the agenda. In the meantime, Lahontan asked us to contact the county to see if we had a LAMP program in place. On Tuesday, August 29th, Bruce LeClaire and Rick Christensen met with the San Bernardino County Water Department and were basically told that the county follows Lahontan's direction and not the other way around. So our next move is to make another appointment with Lahontan and go from there. On August 3rd, Angela and I had a Zoom meeting with Ben Johnson from CalRecycle in preparation for his upcoming site visit. He presented a list of questions for us to answer before his visit, and we discussed what to expect from his visit. He asked if we had filed our annual ear report with CalRecycle, which Angela did on August 1st. We're waiting to hear back from Ben to schedule our site walk. Fall ball started their season on August 13th with a total of 11 teams registering this season. I began working with Nancy Kupka and Bruce LeClaire, who've been working on getting a local grant from DCB Bank for our parks and recreation dance classes in the amount of $5,000. The grant would help to purchase any equipment needed for the classes, along with teacher salaries, rental costs, etc. Thank you, Nancy and Bruce, for your time and efforts in seeking out this grant and your care and commitment to the community. Vicki Reinick and I, met on August 3rd to discuss a senior food program in partnership with the Grizzly Cafe. Vicki has been working diligently with the county to get all the proper permits and paperwork needed to get the program up and running. Until then, a senior lunch will still be provided by private donations every third Wednesday of the month from 11 to 2 in the community building. Is that time correct, Vicki, 11 to 2?
Well, yeah, lunch is pretty much over at 1.
1, and
but
then
we just clean up and
okay.
All that stuff.
And then real quick, on Thursday, I'm going to add this real fast, September 7th, I have a meeting with Victor Hernandez, which is, he's with the office of State Senator Ochoa Bogue, our new senator. He stated that he would like to be a resource available to our community to use at our disposal. And I'd also like to remind everyone about my community roundtable scheduled for Thursday, October 12th at 9 a.m. here in the community building. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Tammy?
Tammy, the meeting with the representative, would it do any good if I, as a supervisor for CERT, were there?
You are more than welcome. They asked if a couple board members wanted to come.
And that's this coming Thursday?
It's going to be here. We're going to do Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At what time?
11.
Okay. I've got to get my eyes checked. I'll try to stop by. Okay.
Great.
Just if I
no,
can
that would be great.
For sure.
So that's okay. Thursday?
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Try. All right. July financials. Okay, I noticed that we transferred our $79,000 for our reserve for the operation account. I asked Tammy if that's an interest-bearing account, and she confirm that it is, mm-hmm. as far as putting that in. I know when we did this back in August, I had requested 6 months. The $79,000 puts it up to $91,000, but reality we should be around $180,000 for 6 months is what we originally put in. Back in 2018, we did that ordinance. Just that we should have at least 6 months worth of money to operate with if something happened. I've asked Tammy to look at it, and based on, since she manages the cash flow and all that, if there's a way over the next 4 or 5 months, you know, when the additional money comes in, that we build that reserve up. And we also need to build the reserve up for replacements. That's stuff that we own and have the deeds for and those type of things. One thing I would like to make clear is this isn't a CD. It's just a savings account. According to our ordinance, it takes four of the five board members to move that money into something. If something popped up and we wanted to spend that money, it's not locked away in that reserve. So if something came up and the board decided it was worth, you know, taking some of that money, we can do it. It's not locked up. But it's easier to reserve it than it is to spend it. So anyway, that's was my two things on the financials.
Why couldn't you have a CD paying 5%?
Because then, well, because then you've locked the money in.
Oh, gotcha.
And
it's for emergencies. If the government shuts down, we don't have income.
And, you know, the reality is we're growing. I mean, later in the agenda, we have the parking lot. There's certain things that we're going to have to spend money on. I know there's certain programs that people are asking, you know, that we spend money on, those type of things. And I personally feel it's important that we have the ability that if something really comes up and all five of us say, hey, we should do it, we don't lose interest by having a CD and taking it out of there before it, you know, matures.
Yeah.
So that was the reasoning behind it, okay? Yeah, I'd love to do a CD, but with these two sitting next to me, we're going to spend the hell out of that money.
In an emergency? Yes.
You like spending money.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
Those darn kid programs.
Any other questions on the financials from you two or the audience for that matter?
No,
okay. No.
Okay.
Waiting on August.
Yeah. The only other thing I asked Tammy about was the renters. Back in August, the board approved a rate increase, and we approved that all the people that are renting the building should be notified and have until October 1st, 2023. To sign new papers for whatever they're asking for, whether it be a variance or whatever, because the new rates will become effective that day. So I'm told that those letters went out, correct? Okay.
And they will get a
rate. And you've gotten a lot back, haven't you, as far as responses or not? No. Okay. Well,
I have one response today. He'll come in next week.
Okay. And what was said at that meeting, because that was one I was able to go to, they don't sign it on first, then they lose whatever they had until they come back in and, you know, fill it out and agree to the new rates. So it's kind of important if you know other...
And that was put in the letter.
Yeah, okay, good. Those are my only two things on the financials. Okay. Do we need to approve the financials for August, Steve?
Oh, those are for July.
Or July, rather.
No, you don't need to. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on, then. General Manager Employment Agreement, number 9. What were the...
Steve was trying to finalize my contract.
Right.
And I left the two comments that we weren't clear on. The first one being, what's the new effective date? Because I know we've been discussing this. I just said the board meeting, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it would be tonight, right, Steve?
August.
Wouldn't the board vote on this tonight, Steve, to finalize it and make it effective?
Oh, to finalize it.
Yeah. Or no?
Yeah, yeah. I would have it effective upon approval.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then,
what was changed, Steve?
The items that were changed are in section 2B, as in Bob, the date of the work schedule.
The hours of operation.
We added Friday morning to that. Also, what was changed was the last sentence in section 2B, which says employees not required to work on any federal holidays.
Okay.
And then the other change that was made is on a section 3D, as in Dave, changing the calculation of executive leave from 30 28 to 33 26
per hour.
And then the questions we had were the effective date and also the annual salary on section 3A.
Okay.
And that's where we need a direction.
What kind of direction?
Well, we have to discuss as a board and decide what we want for that.
I thought we discussed that.
Well, we discussed the hourly rate, but because I work wonky, you know, some is 35, some over 40, we didn't really talk about an actual lump amount. We just discussed the hourly.
Steve, so, a question on the total amount, since I believe it's, what is it? City, 35 hours for part-time versus full-time?
Yeah, that was our question, Steve. Did you get a chance to look into that for just the overtime? At what point does she charge overtime versus the, I think, 35 hours in this agreement?
The 35 hours does not trigger overtime. It would be there's multiple standards. It's typically 8 hours a day. Under 40 hours a week under a regular schedule. If the board has adopted an alternative work schedule like 980 or something like that, then that avoids overtime. If on certain days within say a 980 or something like that, there would be more than 8 hours a day. The board has not adopted an alternative work week schedule, so it would be the standard one, which is 40 hours a week, 8 hours a day.
Got it.
I did notice on the availability and work schedule to section B, 25 hours performed at district, and then should be like 10 hours via tele.
Okay.
35 what I thought.
Yeah, that's
not the 30 fine. Is what my work, you know, what I'm
what has been
well, 30
at
30.
What point the oh that I remember my question at what point are we triggered to pay for medical insurance or full-time yeah. benefits
full-time there employee because we set this up originally
to avoid that because she didn't need the benefits
right
the, not because we didn't want to give it
well because we talked about changing it but we set it up originally for the general manager and her or his staff mm-hmm. that would be part-time employees. Based on what we've been doing, we have a little bit of a leeway, but we're still coming from a point of view of a part-time position. If, in fact, Tammy or Angela or any of the people are working more than, I believe it's 35 is the kicker, if... For example, they're continually working 40 or 45 hours a week, then we are prompted by the Labor Department, I believe, to put them on as a full-time employee.
That's my question to Steve.
That's
at what point
yeah,
are we?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Because it's
them.
Not
yeah.
every week I work 40.
No, I know. But where are we on that? Because that triggers a lot more expense. Not
well,
that
they're... The way I understood it was that what the board wanted to do was to back out how you calculated the 47,236.80 that's in 3A.
Right.
That was based upon, I'm assuming, an hourly rate of, the old hourly rate of 30.28. Yeah. And with the new hourly rate of 33.26 over the same period of time, what is that new number?
Yeah, that would be the number.
Yeah.
But
if this isn't 30 hours calculated and you're regularly working 35, is my question.
Yes.
Is that triggering?
I mean, it just says a minimum of 25 hours performed at this facility.
Yeah, minimum. So that's good. The verbiage
is good. Okay, so we're
fine. Okay.
Okay.
So I would just, I think we just keep it the way it is. We just calculate.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Calculated the, however you came up to the 47, okay. 236.80 with the third under the 30.28 hourly rate. We just use those same amount of hours.
Okay.
I get that 30 that was used.
I think it was 30.
Yeah.
That's why we had it written.
Yeah,
that's
why it was 30.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It was 30.28 times. How many hours is that a year? Someone better that actually.
1,560.
So it's 30 hours.
That's 30 hours
a week.
So that's what you use. That comes up under the old number. That comes up to the 47,236.8. So what was that, 1560?
Yes.
Times 33.26 equals 51,885.60. So that would be the new, I would suggest the new number that you put in.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get that, Tammy? 51, 85. Okay.
I got it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Cool. So for the crowd here, we entered into this employment agreement with Tammy this time last year when we hired her as the general manager. We were trying to find a full-time general manager, and Tammy was interested in part-time, and she's more than made it worth our while and her while. I think she's done a very good job over the last year. We increased the salaries for all of our employees based on the cost of living increase and what we thought was fair. We included those numbers back in our budget proposal in June that the board approved. So those numbers were included in that. So we have it in our budget. We feel confident with Tammy's performance here and continuing with her forward. So this is just an update of the employment agreement that we entered into with her this time last year. So this is now for the next year. Steve can correct me here if I'm wrong. She's an at-will employee. So at any point, we have 30 days if she's not doing a good job. Right, Steve? So this isn't, we're not locked into a contract for a year, neither is she.
Month to month, I think.
Yeah, we may have updated that, but.
The board can decide not to renew it at the end of each month on 10 days notice.
10 days, there we go. I think that this is very fair salary, especially for part-time. All of the full-time people that we were looking at were comparable salaries around here, or just astronomical. Plus benefits, plus medical. Tammy's well taken care of with those things. We added holiday leave because most of the time we're closed anyways on holidays, so we felt like it was only fair that they got their pay on the holiday leave when the rest of us are off as well. And other than that, just flexibility in the work schedule. I think that COVID showed all of us that it's important to be flexible, and especially in emergencies. She needs to be able to work at home if she can. She can't always make it in here, especially if a flood floods out Highway 2, a fire comes in, breaks the whole town down, global pandemic. There's lots of things that could happen. So this just allows that flexibility for her to manage her time and her staff from here as well as from home, and step up when needed. So that's just kind of the background here, is that this is just an update to last year's agreement.
All right. Any other questions? Audience? All right. Let's see. We need to vote on this.
I will make a motion to approve the employment agreement with Ms. Tammy Keene effective today, board agreement today, if everybody else votes yes.
Per the changes that we have been discussing.
Yeah. Per the changes. That really changes, but.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion passes. You have a new contract, Tammy.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see.
Woo!
Just so we're all clear, her staff, which includes Angela and Michelle, are under the GM's responsibility. We set a range that she could do, but that's Tammy's prerogative to raise whatever, hire, fire, whatever, with her staff. That's not a board duty that's done. That's strictly the GM's thing. So don't blame us, Angela. Blame her. Okay? All right. Village Trail update. I know I talked to Sue Parody, and she wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. Do we have anybody? I know we talked about Caltrans.
Got fixed, didn't it? No?
What?
Oh, I thought it got fixed. I thought this.
No,
it's there's a portion of the Village Trail that needs help with the drainage.
By the sign, you guys see it all the time.
Yeah, and that's where the kids walk to school. That's part of their walking school bus area. They walk by my house, too, and right by yours. So,
they were digging out this summer.
Oh, gotcha.
But they had asked for help. They had talked the meeting of the July, I guess it was, to see if there was any. Sue checked with the files that they had for the Village Trail, and there's nothing that in writing that says the Caltrans gave that to Wrightwood or whatever. It's just out there.
Right, and I've been dealing with Caltrans.
Okay.
I didn't write her name down. Anyway, she's up in Sacramento trying to get the person who needs to come out here. I explained the trail situation that we, you know, seems like it was a handshake kind of deal. I'm working with Sue trying to get a name. John Leneau may remember a name.
Well, she told me she talked to John, and there is nothing in writing.
Nothing, right.
Not a
promise. I was getting frustrated because Caltrans was kind of just like leading me in circles. So I said, okay, forget the maintenance of the Village Trail.
Right.
What about the maintenance of your easement? Because that's technically what it is.
Yeah.
So I got another, I'll call you back. This was Friday. So I even told them, I said, we have Caltrans here now, literally working.
Yeah.
Can't they at least come by and take a peek? So, and that was Thursday. She contacted me Friday and said she'd get back to me. And
can you remind me of what the issues are?
I think the village trail over by Park is like disintegrating. It's just flooding into the canal.
It floods
it's flooding
every
into
time.
The street.
It's bad flooding too.
Eroding away. And then they're scooping out the sewer and dumping it. No, not the sewer, the drainage
culvert. Culvert.
And they're putting it right back on top of the dirt that they need to get out of here.
Gotcha.
So if they need to put a retaining wall, a swale to get it over, I don't know. But the pile of dirt, if you see, is huge. It looks like it's part of the walkway, but it's not.
Yeah, maybe that's what I saw.
It's where they're, you know,
and the loose sand isn't working.
And it's just, the next rain, it's going to go
is
right
back. Is it an issue in the snow as well, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah.
And then, it ices over there because the water sits.
Because it can't drain down the culvert.
Because it can't drain. There is a curb. I went out there today, but it's buried under.
Yeah, that's how the culverts are designed.
Dirt.
One quick fix for the drainage, at least, is that the C-Click Fix app, which is terrible marketing, you can report a culvert not draining. So you take a picture, it tells you, yes, we've received this, and they have to update you within a certain amount of time. Do that. Just try that for that, at least.
Yeah, I'm just getting to do it. So I'm hoping by this week I'll have some kind of an answer, but.
Yeah,
well, we're
going to
have more people using that for the
the pond boats?
Well, that and the school. You know, they do the walking school bus right by there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, it's not our property, technically.
Is it? That's it, yeah.
But it's an easement.
I'm just thinking, we got a tractor. Are they going to jam us up if we touch it? That's where it's a weird limbo.
It's not our property. I mean,
well, then they have
they
to
have
fix
taken
it.
Care of it. It came in front of this board a couple years ago, and the board decided, no, that wasn't, you know, our responsibility. Property Owners Association took it over, and that was Ron and Sue Perry.
Yeah, I understand that whole dynamic.
That whole stuff, but there's nothing that says who's actually going to fix it.
Have you talked to the maintenance yard here, the off of Cajon? Okay, they came to our snow meeting. They're super cool down there. They may be able to at least give you the right person to talk to.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah,
not like what we're
he
doing.
He lives up
this
here.
Was higher.
No, he lives up here.
I get farther, but okay.
Yeah, he's super cool.
Yeah, the people to do it. So, anyway, what it sounds like is Tammy and her staff will follow through and get some answers one way or another. But I'd certainly
is there any other portion of the trail that's doing that? Is it like a design?
There's a few places where the rain is eroding across, but I don't think at the end of, this is more the end of the trail, just like flooding out. I don't believe so.
And the property owners have maintained it. Ron and Stu have different people that do sections because they broke it up
into
sections.
No, I understand all of that.
And anyway. They have got a thing that they put down gravel and other areas. They do the flowers along the way. You know, they maintained
of course,
it fairly
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they need help, and it kind of fell through the cracks with the property owners, and that's why they came to us and said, is there any way you guys could help us on that?
Yeah.
You know,
so since it's an easement, I feel Caltrans should be responsible.
So do I.
Whether we have a trail on it or not, people are going to walk. I think because I approached our trail is what kind of slowed it down. But then when I said it's actually your easement.
Yeah. Okay.
I sent pictures.
Okay.
To, if they're aware.
If I forget to follow up with you, call me because let's just start hounding the local people here.
Okay.
Because it is their right of way, I know that for sure.
Okay.
And there is a PIO assigned to it in the district office up here to that
Beautiful.
Specific project. That yes, there's a person assigned to that.
Okay.
So they at least would be responsible. Should be responsible.
Okay.
All right. It
Thank
sounds
you.
Like Tammy, with help from Sadie, will follow through on other areas that maybe we can get some help for.
Yeah, and even just permission to fix it because we have.
If I might add something to
Stretch, do you mind getting to the mic because we need you on the recorder?
If I might add something to when you approach them, as you come down Park and stop at the stop sign, which some of us still do, and look to the left, if they could come in and trim the weeds down, because there's just enough of a curb with the weeds grown up. Cars coming around that curve
that's true.
Can be blocked off from a person that wants to pull out onto two. It would be a matter of just a weed eater trimming them down, but it does block your vision, and they come down off the hill, and it's enough of a curve that they can be on you in a hurry.
So I misspoke earlier with the click, whatever that is. That's a county thing. So Caltrans has a customer service request online database. You can report issues like that at any of the stop signs along the highway. You just log online and go, and there's an option for overgrown weeds. There's an option for culverts not draining. So maybe that's something that...
Is there a website? Or
I just Googled, Caltrans report is all I Googled.
Okay.
And it's called a customer service request.
Okay, cool.
And they, again, are accountable to that when reports are put into the system, and that would send it to the maintenance yard off of right there at 138.15. Yeah, so, and it, as the squeaky wheel gets the...
If it's that simple...
Yeah, I know. Well, welcome to the state. That's the hard part with, like, Sacramento versus local versus...
Exactly.
It may be that coming from a resident as opposed to you guys, if we can get a couple of other
Or five residents reporting the issue.
Yeah. Or like to do it. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Squeaky wheels.
Yeah, and graffiti too. If you see graffiti on the Caltrans signs or anything, you can report that, and they'll come out and clean it. And they have like a certain time frame that they have to handle it.
Good to know. Thank you. That's really good enough.
All right. Thank you, Tammy and Sadie. Okay, now we go to the social media policy. Anybody want to address it?
We just wanted to, somebody brought up the last meeting that they wish the CSD would do more social media posts with more information, and since then I've seen the board meeting posted, and it's done a really great job. We decided to bring this back because I think that there is one thing missing. Just right now, we only have district staff on our social media pages, and I was thinking about it, and I think that if we create, like, an admin profile from the board to be able to, heaven forbid, our staff goes off the rail and they get fired, they're the only ones with access to that, and we can't gain our Facebook or Instagram back without their personal pages. And that is a liability for the district, and you guys are doing a great job. This is not harping on anything about that, but it's just I've had this happen in a government agency where the person who got fired is the only person with access. So I think we wanted to bring it back just to kind of discuss that. I don't think that the board needs to step in and post. I think the staff, that's the whole social media policy, is that the staff manages and runs that and monitors that. But contingency planning, again, fire, flood, things are going crazy, and we need to communicate with the public. You know, being able to step in and help you guys would be really beneficial. So I think creating an admin account that would be, does that make sense? An admin Facebook profile that would be the admin on that page. So that would have the ultimate access.
Who would that be?
So it would just be either... the board would have access to that, or just Natalie as the president, or just, so it wouldn't be tied to a personal profile, is the best. Yeah, which is how Facebook wants you to do it. Mm-hmm. But to just have it as a contingency in emergencies, not tied to anybody's personal account, I think is the way that I would recommend it.
Steve, if this is a CSD account, and it's basically run by the GM and who she designates in the staff. If, in fact, we had a turnover, like Sadie's talking about, I can see some type of a background. But when we mentioned, well, the board members could go in or whatever, don't we run into the Brown Act on that?
Not in this sense. So the Brown Act comes into play when board members are... multiple board members are posting their opinions on topics. I forget which section it is here, but the section basically says that board members are not to post.
Right.
Here it is. Social media pages to blog, engage in serial meetings, or otherwise discuss, deliberate, express opinions, any issues within subject matter, jurisdiction of the board of directors, or for any political purposes. So that's just my understanding is opinion-based. But in an emergency, to post something to help the staff is much different than a board member going on and spewing opinions from the CSD's page. So, Chuck, you are right. Yes, that is personal opinions from board members. What I'm suggesting here is just like admin-based. No political, no opinions, no nothing. It's just to help the business.
And okay. we would all have like the login or whatever, but we wouldn't necessarily be posting.
And no, yeah, exactly. You shouldn't be. There. I say that with caveat of there have been a couple circumstances, like we've had to cancel a meeting and Tammy didn't have Wi-Fi or cell service or, you know, and I was able to say, hey, the meeting is canceled. That I don't think violates anything, but it was a legal requirement for us to post that the meeting was canceled. Or that we were having a meeting, I don't remember what it was. But that's the basis of what my suggestion is. So, yes. Yeah.
I like that, actually, because during the blizzard, it was tough.
Yeah.
Because we were all using as, you know.
Cell service or power, like that whole fire was, I had some service and you didn't, and we were meeting up, and I was calling Steve from Victorville, and so just things like that. And again, just to cover backs, and I think as an anonymous, like not tied to anybody's profile, then it can be passed on as board members come and go, or password changed and whatnot, but.
Well, my only concern is if it's called, quote, a WCSD page, and it's not us or the staff putting whatever contact they put in on that page, you know, is that approved by the CSD, or is that just somebody using that account? That's what I worry about.
That's not how that works. Yeah. That's not how that works.
You can guarantee that.
I can guarantee that.
You can.
Absolutely.
What's the guarantee then? What can I do and come back?
Well, you just want to vote no, Chuck.
I don't understand it.
I know. That's why you got to trust the expert here.
But my wife is, and on the Wrightwood page and all those social media stuff, and she'll tell me when she sees stuff, and there's things that I would not want us as a CSD to be, you know, promoting or saying certain things.
That's not what
if it's
about.
On our account. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Okay, so that I see your confusion.
On our account is what we put.
Yeah,
on our
I see
account.
Your confusion
yeah, I have no
there, Chuck.
With
is that Lori can see what other people are talking about and whatnot right from her profile? How we're doing it is essentially like a website. Is all we're doing is posting our own information, our
dance classes,
events.
Meetings.
We aren't engaging in any of that.
Yeah,
it is strictly a website for informational purposes. There's no, you can answer questions if people ask, but there's no dabbling in what she sees. And I see your point there. It gets hairy, but that is not what this is.
That's
that
my
makes
only
sense.
Concern.
Yeah, no, it's like a website. If that makes sense
and
at all.
And I wrote down your guarantee.
So. Guarantee.
Okay.
You have it on tape.
Yeah.
Well, there are, you know, Chuck's, as much as this pains me, I think Chuck is probably right when it comes to the Brown Act and concerns regarding directors responding to threads or comments that another director has responded to, and the legislature back in 3 years ago, September of 2020, adopted some pretty really draconian provisions in the Brown Act that apply to social media in two different ways. One is if there is a thread in which there's, back and forth, and one director jumps in and comments, and then a second director jumps in and comments, and a third director jumps in and comments, then that creates a serial meeting that is a violation of the Brown Act. The other way is if a director posts something on a website or social media or something like that, and another director responds directly to that, even if you don't have a quorum, this is where it gets a little strange, even if you don't have a quorum, and it's one director responding directly to another director's post, that is a Brown Act violation. So there really is a lot of restraint that board members have to have when it comes to discussing district business on social media. It's even a tighter restraint than it is outside social media. So it's just something. There is a minefield there that I agree with Chuck needs to be understood because there could be missteps unintentionally. And a lot of times it's just correcting information, or that you feel it's correct, and the line gets blurred between what becomes opinion and what becomes fact. And
And so just having the discipline to not respond to other people's comments that may be completely false. But once you do that, then it opens up a real rabbit hole that I think board members need to be careful about.
All right. That was hard for you to say, huh? I was right.
Ouch.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. On tape, too, yet. Okay, great. Do we have to vote on this, or is that just our normal policy anyway?
I would suggest, I don't necessarily have a problem with it, with what is being suggested by Director Albers. I would suggest that be hardwired, some language be hardwired directly into your social media policy, and then the policy with that language be brought back to the board for consideration.
Next agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully we'll have the full group. All right. Everybody clear on that? Bring back for next month?
Sounds good.
Okay, number 12, current variances. I think this was probably one of the things I asked Tammy, just so I could see it. The awarded variances for 2023. We had CERT, Fire Safe Council, Lions Club Bingo, Tri-Community Co-op, Historical Society, Line Dancers, with the amount of hours and the variance total. Events, Lions Club Easter Breakfast, Wrightwood Arts and Fine Wine Festival, Music in the Pines, Snowline Players, and Angela, Tammy, we sent letters to all these people about the October 1st rate increase.
Yes, we did.
Okay. And we haven't got that many other than one or two come back. Okay. So, if you know people that are on these, might be good to let them know that come October 1st, if they haven't re-signed the agreements, you'll lose your place as far as time and that type of thing. It's not to say that we're not going to give them the same variance, but they have to. The price is going up. There's a few other items I think we added to the rate increase, didn't we? Sadie?
I would just across the board rate increase.
Yeah,
very
but minimal. I mean, it was also as far as the cleanup and
narrowed down
verbiage. Yeah, we clarified whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would hate to see any of these people lose the variance simply because they didn't do the paperwork. And we made it real clear and we set it out to people that they had until October 1st. Okay? And the only one that I had a question on was, I think the line dancers, we showed 120. How many days are they using it? And what's the 120?
Once a week.
Once a week?
For 2 hours.
2 hours, once a week. Oh, so it's four times.
For the month,
oh,
yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. I'm not going to fight Dee Potter, I'll tell you that right now. That was one of the few I voted yes on, because I didn't want Dee, you know, picketing my home, so... Anyway, to say the least. Mm. No, she's a wonderful lady. Okay. Any discussion on variances or?
I just did a quick math here, and I know you're not a fan of variances, Chuck, but for the whole year, it's only $7,155, and we are Parks and Recreation here, and these community programs are great for our whole entire community and those who participate, so I'm happy to do that. That's a lot cheaper than us putting on our own programming. So I just want that to be stated, Chuck.
I just
Chuck.
Want you to guarantee all this stuff. Okay.
No,
so that takes care of that. Division plan, discussion and possible action. We had an ad hoc committee. Did you guys have a chance to meet yet?
We spoke briefly. I thought Chrissy was going to be here tonight, so I don't want to go too much into it without her, but just a high level of where we're going from here. We're going to get together with Tammy and plan 3 community meetings, one on a weekday night, or one on a weekday, one on a weekday night and one on the weekend. That way the community has an opportunity to attend one of those if their schedule doesn't allow for another. We're going to go in there and let me see what we discussed. Go over high level, just before we get into these community discussions, I think it's important to have education on what the CSD actually is responsible for and what we can and cannot do. I don't want to get deep in these conversations about whatever, like CHP or policing. We don't have authority over that, so I want to be focused on the vision for the CSD of what we can do. We're going to discuss the current budget and available funds and then hope to gain a one-year, three-year, five-year goals for the district and just brainstorm with the community any other powers or services, I would rather say, that could serve the community potentially in the future. Is there something else that the CSD can take over that would benefit the community as a whole? So those are kind of the topics for the community meetings upcoming. We'll take what we gain there, the ideas from everybody there, bring it back to the board as a high level. This is what the community thinks. Here's our recommendations. And then as a board, we can discuss what we want to do from there. Hopefully adopt the intention is to adopt a vision plan or a strategic goal of what we want to do moving forward. We're in a great financial spot. We have a good, strong, healthy board. We have a great general manager and staff, so we're at a really good spot to move forward and get some things done. So that's kind of the intention behind the ad hoc committee. So look forward to seeing those dates for the community meetings. The ad hoc committee will handle those and then bring it back to the board.
Okay. Any questions, comments, whatever? All right. Next one, parking lot bids. I believe it was July. Tammy had mentioned that we had a problem over by DCB Bank where people were tripping. There's a dip there type mm-hmm. of stuff, and plus
I believe it's their old septic, and it's sinking.
Is that right?
DCB?
I need to do a little more research and see, you know, if they can possibly contribute to this. Because, anyway, I got two bids to do the parking lot. And as you can see, they're quite a difference.
Say the least.
I did have Ron, who's a contractor, my husband, look at these and, you know, do the apples to apple kind of thing to see what the major difference is. And honestly, the only major difference is that Robert Yagonian Paving, where they put, where they're going to, the cracks, there's cracks. They're going to actually come in and like grind them down and then seal them where Dorian doesn't specify that he's going to actually grind them. I have a phone call into him, you know, to see, but for the most part, these are pretty similar bids. I did ask them to break out just the two sections that are in dire need by the bank in case we couldn't do the whole parking lot. And that came to, $4,400 for the spot over by the bank. And then there's a spot if you leave here and head towards parking lot, like where I park, there's a big dip that's actually getting worse. So we can do, you know, both that for 44, or we could do the whole shebang for the either 18,000 or the 38,000.
Does this include both bits? Did this include the painting, the striping?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't see that. Okay.
It does state it in the I don't know how to say that. Anyway, the other papers, the Dorans.
Yeah.
It does state it in there. Duran was a verbal. He did state he would do the striping.
Well, given the fact that my instructor, Mr. Kennedy, has told me numerous times that unless it's in writing, it doesn't matter damn what they tell you. It's got to be in writing.
Okay, so I'll get it in writing.
The fact that they would say that,
okay,
you know, doesn't mean diddly if they decide not to do it. for this amount of money. And from your point of view, or Ron's point of view, 18 versus 30, almost 39,000 is a pretty good spread.
Duran's says that it's gonna, he's gonna fill the cracks too with rubberized asphalt.
Right. The only difference is Duran doesn't specify, like the other paver, that he's gonna come in and grind.
But that's not going to be
a 20,000. Even if we ask him to add it, if it's not included, it's not going to be 20,000.
Yeah. Well, it looks like he's just going to do 4 inches of new. He's not going to grind, so he's going to fill the cracks and do 4 inches of new. The other guy wants to grind. And add a base. So he wants to take it all away and add a base up to 6 inches.
That's in the little square area, not the whole parking lot. That they're going to both, you obviously they're going to have to add something. And he even said if we get in there and it's, you know, it could be the hole down to God only knows how deep.
Yeah.
So he said it could increase the cost too, because they may have to put 80 tons of gravel as opposed to two or whatever.
Smokes.
Yeah, we don't know what's under there.
How quickly is this work going to be done?
I didn't get...
Well, I guess sand wouldn't work. Right now, the county has a abundance of sand from the storm that is free for taking.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where? I can use some, too.
Yeah, I'll send you the email.
Okay, cool.
Behind the fire station.
No, they have an off-site location in Phelan. It's probably all of our dirt, honestly. They just washed down that way.
Probably.
Just want to bring it back up this way.
All right, any...
I can get ads if you guys have questions for these bids or...
I do... So I would be curious how much it would be for the whole parking lot. Like, would we benefit from the whole parking lot resurface?
That's what this is. Yes,
it is a whole parking lot? Oh, I thought it was a smaller section.
No, I'm sorry. The 4,400 at the top is only for the two spots. The 18,000 is for the whole parking lot to come in and slurry it and fill the cracks.
And stripe it.
Can I mention something that just came to my mind here?
Yes.
Filling the cracks.
If you get on the mic.
Okay.
Did you see it?
All right. Vicki Wright. I got a newsletter from Supervisor. And about the storm, and what the county will do is pay for damages because of the storm. Sinkholes is on his letterhead that you can apply to the county, and they would come in and fix those holes.
This happened before the storm.
Yeah,
I can. It happened before the storm. I'll pull it out of my email and I'll forward it to
him. Okay,
it's just their newsletter.
Oh, okay. That's why I didn't see.
Yeah,
well,
but it wasn't storm caused.
It got worse from the storm, but
yeah, we can't.
Yeah,
we obviously use it with the farmers market, Mountaineer Day. I mean, the parking lot is used for a lot of different things other than just parking. I think it's something that we have to address because we do own it. That's one of our own properties.
Yeah, that's all I was asking, but I see it now.
Yeah, to fix that aspect of it, I'm a little concerned that there's a spread of 18,000 versus 39,000. Seems hard to believe that would that be different.
Is it? It's. I feel.
Yes.
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
Go.
For me, as the attorney, I think the major difference in the two bids, and this may explain the wide disparity in numbers, is that the Agoyan bid expressly states it includes prevailing wage. The Duran bid, at least I don't see it, that there's a mention of prevailing wage.
Okay.
And that may be why it's so different. You as a public agency are obligated, when you go out to contract, obligated to pay prevailing wage.
Right.
Okay.
He is aware of that, but you're right, he did not put it in the contract. I will call him back on that, because we did discuss the prevailing wage. He knows that it needs to be done, but I'll get this, see if that'll change.
And the number differential has significance from the legal standpoint as well, because once you get over $25,000, then
right.
You are obligated to go to a formal competitive bid before you award a contract, which means that you would have to draft up the bid specs, and then you wouldn't be able to do it the way that you've done it, which is call various contractors and ask for quotes and proposals.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to advertise it and authorize a publication and wait for 10 days and then go through, the actual formal bidding where you're opening the bids on a certain day on a certain time and all of that. So the formal competitive bidding kicks in at $25,000, which is, you go in and bids over that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Steve, how do we know? We're not professionals with that typical situation. How do we know how much it's going to be? Is there a way to get somebody out here to look at it, to see what, does that make sense, my question? Like, I don't know what we're looking at here.
There's nothing wrong with getting quotes, and which is what the general manager did. You do have one that's under $25,000. So in that case, you could award it without going through any competitive bid. If the quotes that the general manager received were all over $25,000, then you would have to go back to the drawing board and actually draft up the bid specs.
So what happens if the sinkhole goes down to the center of the earth and it takes $100,000 to fill? Those are obviously exaggerated, but what if we end up paying him more than $25,000? Or
unforeseen circumstance kind of thing.
That would have to come back to the board. I mean, change orders do occur. What you can't do is you can't split the project. So you can't say, well, let's do half of it now to get under the $25,000, and then next month we'll do the other half. And it's the same project. You just split it in two to get under $25,000. You can't do that. But if you enter into an agreement that's under $25,000 and you go through the informal process that you've done, and then there's change orders that push it over, I think that you'd be okay if it's not egregious. If it was egregious where it was clearly the change order was something that was contemplated as a way of getting around, splitting the project and getting around competitive bid, then that would be a real problem.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay,
right where the one for Doran, where it says grand total, says exclusions, design, plans, permits, city submittals, city fee, unforeseen conditions, lead and asbestos abatement. Is there any kind of price? You know the county's going to get into it and want permits and that type of thing. I would think, but maybe
we're
not.
We're not doing major construction.
Yeah, it's not adding structures.
Not ripping up the thing, we're just laying on
patching it.
Yeah.
And painting it.
Yeah, so...
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I would suggest that we bring it back with the answers to some of the questions
the
that were
brought
to you.
Yes, for sure.
And obviously, you know where I'm leaning towards. And Doran does our snow removal, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, we've dealt with him before. But I think once we get all those questions that Tammy needs to talk to him about, then... we got a better
Tammy,
decision.
Can you ask, too, when you go back to him or both of them, project timeline?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
How long do they think it'll
yeah.
take them? Because if Chris is thinking it'll take him 6 months versus this guy will do it in a week, then that's different, too.
Okay.
All right.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions on that aspect of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Director comments.
I don't really have any. Thank you all for coming, and I look forward to revisiting a lot of this stuff that we discussed tonight in the next agenda.
All right. Sadie?
Nothing for me.
All right. I think I've already put my questions out there. Appreciate our core group showing up to the meeting.
Our fans.
go from there. Next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, October 3rd. Yeah, I know. We're already into October.
Crazy.
5:30 p.m. Any other questions from staff or board? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, Steve.